Welcome to another edition of In the Know. I am your host, Tony Reeves. Now, I want to share with you a story about a recent personal experience that really touched my heart. In recent weeks, as part of my responsibility as an education chair for an organizational committee, I discovered an interesting situation after talking to the mother of one of our organization's scholarship recipients. Now, her daughter is attending a university which offers merit scholarships for academic excellence. In other words, the school is rewarding her daughter with scholarship money based on her daughter's performance in high school. Now, unfortunately, the scholarship does not cover the entire cost of college. As such, the young lady and her parents were very aggressive about seeking out and successful in obtaining external scholarships to pay the difference not covered by the university. As such, the student now is in a position to cover all of her education expenses, or so she thought. Unfortunately, the young lady discovered that her universities, like some other universities, has a practice of reducing or offsetting the cost of merit scholarships based on any external scholarships received by the students. Still a little confused? Well, let me explain how it works. So assume, for instance, you have a university that costs $20,000 to attend. So let us also assume that the school offers $10,000 in merit scholarship money. Now, if you are the student or the student's parents, you may be thinking, cool, the university is going to cover $10,000, so we just have to cover the other $10,000. And in most cases, you'd be right. However, this is where it gets a little tricky. So let us assume that the student gets $10,000 in external scholarship money. In the eyes of the parents and the students, it's simple math. University gives you $10,000. You get $10,000 from outside scholarships. The two equals $20,000. Boom. School paid for. And again, in most cases, the parents and the students would be right. However, if the student is attending a college that reduces or offsets the cost of the merit scholarship that they award from any external scholarships, you're going to get a different type of math. So using the same example that I provided, so the school costs $20,000. The merit scholarship offered by the university is $10,000. Now, however, the $10,000 in external scholarship money is now subtracted from the merit scholarship money. So in essence, the student still owes $10,000. Now, I know some of you are out here thinking that this sounds a little shady, but if you think about it from a broader context, there is nothing wrong here. The university is not obligated to provide the scholarship, and if they can redirect the funds that from their merit scholarship to another deserving student because the original student was able to demonstrate the ability to fund their education on their own, there's probably a good idea that this is actually a good thing. However, for students or their families who are dealing with colleges and universities and how to pay for them, this can be a shock that forces students to scramble to figure out how they are going to pay for their education. So today, I want to talk to you about paying for college. I do not want to focus on the math or the scholarships or even the practices of the universities with regards to offering scholarships. What I want to talk about today is the stress of paying for colleges and universities.
In the know.
Good evening, everyone.
In the know.
Tony Reeves,
buyer.
Following the news in any way, shape, or form. No shortage of things to talk about.
What did we do? What will it bring?
And probably the best way I can illustrate this is kind of share with you my own personal experience. As a person who paid for his own college education, I can tell you from my experience in figuring out how to pay for college that this was not a pleasant experience. Now, I came from a single parent household. My mom was a school teacher in the South. And at the time, I got the opportunity to go to a small private university as an out-of-state student. So that experience, going to school and figuring out how to pay for it, I had a few shocking things occur that shocked me in terms of how to deal with it. So now you've got to keep this in context. At 18 years of age, I had never paid a bill. I had never held a job. I had never had any financial responsibilities. So when I decided to go to college, I did the thing that almost all college-bound kids do. I apply for colleges, I apply for scholarships, and I apply for financial aid, pretty much in that order. The first part, applying to college, was pretty easy, even though I was grossly uninformed. Like a lot of young kids who are looking to go to college, college was about the campus, the degrees, the classes, the location, and every other thing a college-bound kid is thinking about when they're looking at going to school. Unfortunately, I had no focus or no idea how to focus on the practicality of college. I didn't focus on how much it cost. I didn't think about how I was going to pay for it. And I didn't think about what was my options in the event that I couldn't pay for it. So then after the first part, after getting accepted into college, which of course, at this time, I was looking to go to a school that cost roughly $18,000 a year to attend, my next focus became scholarships. And so I applied. Now, here's the funky part about the second part of the process about scholarships. I don't know how it is today, but back when I was going, and this was 87 at the time, in retrospect, I didn't apply for a lot of scholarships. And to be honest, I did not know where to go to find to apply for scholarships. You got to remember, this is 87, so at this time, there was no internet. For most students in my position, you're heavily reliant on your guidance counselors, who played an active role in letting you know what scholarships you should and you shouldn't apply for. So in my instance, I only had a handful of scholarships because the persons who I were relying upon to kind of direct me didn't really tell me about a lot, and I didn't know where to go to look for them. So as such, by the time I got ready to go to the university, I only had one scholarship that the university offered that was going to pay me $5,000 a year to shave off the $18,000, which of course leads me to my third part, which is the financial aid. Now remember, at the age of 18, I never understood what financial aid means or meant. I knew it would help pay for college, but I never understood the concept of interest rates or repayment structures or deferments or forbearance or any of those technical terms. In my mind, financial aid was aid to assist those persons who were in financial need. And so after going through all these steps, I was ready to make the journey to attend college and pursue my academic dreams with no issues and no stress, or so I thought. Now, when I arrived at the university that I attended, and I attended the University of Tampa, I was, as most freshmen are, pumped up. I was in a new state of Florida. I was in a new city, Tampa, Florida. And I was at this great private school, the University of Tampa. And that I'd never even seen before. So here I am in this new area, new environment, new people, 900 miles away from home, and I am ready to rock and roll. Everything was perfect. Around week two, and by this time, we're just starting my first week of classes. So, you know, your first week you're there, they go through all the orientation and all the fun things. This is your dorm room. This is where the cafeteria is. This is how you use your car, all that fun stuff. The second week is when you roll into taking your classes. And so around this time, this is when it all started. So while I'm in class, I get a call from the registration's office. I'm sitting in class and somebody's like, Anthony Reeves, they want you down at the registration's office. I'm like, okay. So I go down to the registration's office. Okay. And when I arrived, I was told that some of my classes had not been paid for. So I needed to go to the financial aid office. Now, as a result, you can imagine. I'm in this unique position of having to try to mentally figure out, well, how does this happen? I have no clue what's going on. Remember, I'm 18 years old, 900 miles away from home, and I have no concept of money management or what needs to happen in terms of paying for my education. All I know is they said, your classes aren't paid for, go to financial aid. So here I go and walk into financial aid. So of course, getting called out of the class, I'm stressing. Being told that my classes aren't paid for, I'm stressing. And now I'm walking in here and I don't know what they're going to tell me. And then they proceed to drop the boom on me. So when I walk in there, they tell me the only money the university has is from the scholarship that they offered me. And in addition, the monthly amount that my mother, or we were, in this case, my mom was taking care of, was expected to pay was $900 a month. And they had not received the first check yet. Now, my heart is racing for a variety of different reasons. I'm sitting here freaking out because one, my classes aren't paid for. Two, I don't have the money to pay for school. And three, my rock, who's been my mom for all these years, has never let me down, and today still has never let me down, didn't make a payment. I just knew this couldn't be right. So here I am going, you know, out of class, going back to my dorm room, getting ready to call my mother for what I envision is going to be a heart-wrenching conversation, because I am freaking out because I'm trying to figure out what is happening here. I'm seeing my dream disintegrate right before my very eyes. So I'll go to the dorm and I get on the phone and I have this heart-wrenching conversation with my mom. My mother had actually written the check, but as she sat there and looked at this check, the reality was this was a check that she was going to have to write that was going to literally take up almost half, if not more than half, of her paycheck. Wrap your brain around this. This is 1987. Back in this time period, this was the 1987. I was in Arkansas. Arkansas at the time had a reputation. It did not have a strong reputation for paying teachers a lot. So here's a situation where my mother's a single mother living on her own, having to make the decision about whether she can make a check out to a university so her baby can attend college, or whether she can eat. And she just couldn't do it. And it was funny because when we were talking, my initial thought was, oh my gosh, what do I do? And then I, for whatever reason, I had a level of peace where I said, you know what? My mom has always had my back. It's always been she and I. If she literally can't do it, it's because she literally cannot do it. So in my mind, I had decided, you know what? If that's the case, I completely understand. We'll figure something out and I'll try to do whatever I can to take care of this. After talking to my mom, I had returned to financial aid and just talked to them to find out what my options were. And to my surprise, the university contacted the people at the company's called FAFSA. That's the program that administers student loans and financial aid. And what happened was that they determined the paperwork had actually been completed, but was delayed a bit for their issues. And as such, once they had calculated, they released it to my financial aid office, and it was determined that I had enough money to take care of my education. So now with my student loans in place, everything was all good in the neighborhood. All right. But I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like the reality that somebody completing other paperwork caused such a ruckus that I was literally thinking about how I was going to need to leave like that day to go back home. So I then told myself, I need to figure out a way to do this so that I never have that feeling again. Because during the time when I was spazzing out trying to make this happen, I had friends who did not come back. They weren't in a financial position to be able to return back to the university. So the options that presented themselves to me that I was able to avail, they were not in a position to do so. And it was just as crushing for them as it was for me when dealing with these situations as well. The harsh reality about going to college is that going to college should be a magical, memorable educational and life experience. It should be a time for new friends, new places, and new experiences. Unfortunately, for too many students and their families, paying for this experience can often result in a high level of stress. Stress that should not be placed on the hearts and minds of young students who are trying to pursue their dreams. That's it for today's In the Know with Tony Reeves. And I want you to always remember, when preparing the next generation for pursuing their college dream, do everything you can to help them avoid the nightmare of the stress that comes with paying for that college dream. And I want to thank you, our listening audience, for tuning in. If you have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, make sure you type my handle. My name is Reeves for more interesting content. I always like to share. Again, I'm Tony Reeves. And always make sure you are in the know. And if nothing else, be ready to answer the question. Are you ready for the Anthony Reeves experience?
In the know.
Good evening, everyone.
In the know.
Tony Reeves. Tony Reeves.
Tony Reeves.
Tony Reeves.
Fire.
Following the news in any way, shape, or form. No shortage of things to talk about. What did we do? What will it bring? This is a reality we simply have to accept.
Tony Reeves.
Fire.
Tony Reeves.
Let's go ahead and get started.